Our third speaker today is Sarah Blanco-Rose. She teaches distance courses in Biblical Hebrew at Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. Students who are sighted and blind are included in the courses together. She also offers independent non-credit study courses for people who are blind who were previously exempt from language courses. And her paper concerns the use of materials in auditory format on the success of students who are blind in beginning Hebrew courses. So thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you. Need some volunteers. Everybody ready to get up and move? Okay. I need six people to stand up and go all the way to the back of the room over there.
Okay, I need them. Me or Dalia, boy.
But is it Hebrew or English?
Okay. I also need two people to be at the front over here. Two people at the front over here. And do we have enough left for 10 people?
Yes.
You all are at the back over here.
10
people? 10 people. Yes. Okay.
צריך עוד? עדי, צריך עוד?
Okay. The six people back over here, you are all college students who are blind, and you really want to take Hebrew, but your university says no, because they don't know what to do. People over here who are from Brazil and get to take Hebrew, but you don't have any books. You don't have any books that you can read. So the way that you learn Hebrew is by listening to your professor. One of you back here, could you walk up here very slowly and join these people over here? Every step that you take is 1 year that you keep wanting to learn Hebrew. It took that student 20 years and someone to teach Hebrew.
How does that do that?
These people back here are all people who still want to learn Hebrew, and they still have no way to learn Hebrew. All those 10 people. These people up here are people who are learning Hebrew, and they have a book in Braille, but they don't read Braille very well. So they use materials out loud to help them read Hebrew because it's faster and easier. And they use the Braille, like this, what I'm reading, as a supplement. You can now go sit down. I have spoken with 41 people who are blind who have studied biblical languages. That's Hebrew or Greek. 16 of them have gone on to second year study. 10 of them have gone on to third year study or more. Only 2 of them have done it with audio, as we spoke about. I've spoken with 8 faculty who teach at universities who have asked me, how can we do this better? People that I have spoken to are from 8 different countries. I wanted you to see this in human faces. I could put it on a graph, but I think it's much better to see it in people because it helps you to see how many people actually want to do this and don't get to. The reason that I wanted to talk about how to do this with auditory materials. Auditory materials means reading out loud. I get a chance to do this because we only have one textbook that we can use in Braille right now. How many people use, how many people teach biblical Hebrew in here? Anybody?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Three, four people.
When I surveyed syllabus of biblical Hebrew courses in the United States, there are probably at least 15 different textbooks that people can use. If you're blind, you only have one. So, and we can't get the textbook in Braille, we start looking for different ways to use it. Somebody can read it out loud, we can get it on a digital recording, or we can get it in a PDF and try to read it on the computer out loud. So my question became, can we use these materials and teach effectively? I have done this with two of my students. It's hard to do. I want to talk a little bit about blindness and second language instruction. And we teach a language to a person who is blind. We have the same goals that you do. One of the reasons that I enjoyed Tamar's presentation was because it was like listening to what I would have done with my own students. I want them to read fluently. We want them to be able to translate. We want them to be able to analyze their text, their grammar. We want them to be able to use it in exegesis and teaching. My students are going to go on and be pastors. I want them to be able to use Hebrew to teach their congregations. I want them to be able to use their Bibles. I want them to be able to use grammar references, dictionaries, and lexicons. I want them to be able to use comparative texts, but we don't have any. I want them to be able to use commentaries. That means they'll have to be able to listen to someone read. Comparison of blind and sighted readers. Mom, would you pass those headsets out? This is my mom. This is Cindy. She came all the way to New York. When a blind person reads Braille, most people read between 75 and 150 words per minute. A lot of people work very hard to get to those upper speeds. And a person reads with materials that are recorded or on a computer screen reader, they can read very fast. Some people can read as fast as 450 words per minute. Some people can read a lot faster, not me. I can't listen that fast. And you read print. If a person reads print and goes, they're reading their print, they read slowly. They read at 250 words per minute. The average person reads print at 450 words per minute. A speed reader reads at 750 words per minute. So a blind person is going to read slowly compared to a sighted person. On the back of your handout, you'll see a Braille stapled to it. Mm-hmm. And so you can touch it, and I'll be explaining that shortly. But you can see the printed simulation of the Braille alphabet. The English Braille uses contracted forms to make it a little faster to read. Hebrew Braille does not have contractions. And this is where I want you to look at the back page that has the Braille that you can touch. The back page has two sentences, English and Hebrew. The top one is very close to the staple. Sorry. It says, you can do it in English. And it's only four letters. YCDX. That's English contracted forms. You can do it. And then it has, you can do it in biblical Hebrew. But it's a little bit longer. The third sentence down says, I am speaking these words to you in English. The fourth one down says it in Hebrew, and you notice it goes all the way to the next line. And a blind person reads Hebrew, he has a lot of words that are long, as opposed to English. And so when a blind person reads Hebrew in Braille, there are some things that happen. And I'll be discussing these in the case studies. Audio for blind college students is much more efficient, not to mention more available. When a university picks what type of material to get, they usually choose to provide audio. They don't decide necessarily on what is best. There was a study done in the 1990s on students in foreign language classrooms. Most of the students said they would prefer to have Braille materials for their foreign language. And the study didn't go on to do anything with students who didn't know Braille or didn't have any Braille. So that's why I'm doing this. When a blind person learns foreign language, they need to have an awareness of the sounds, just as Tamar was demonstrating. They also need to have an awareness of syllables. And if they've learned English Braille with "you can do it" signs, they don't necessarily have that awareness of syllables like we want them to have. They don't have an awareness of spelling. They need to be able to remember what they're working on so that they can pull it up. And they need to have an awareness of how words work in sentences. And if their awareness ends at the end of the line, they don't hold that for the next line and form an awareness of sentences and paragraphs. With second language instructions, most people who are blind end up in traditional second language type classrooms with grammar books. It's hard to teach a person who is blind in an immersion classroom where you have pictures and somebody running across the room, because that can be easily misinterpreted. Got it, but I studied Spanish in that type of environment. So when teachers end up with a blind person in the class, their perception sometimes is, what if they don't understand what I'm doing? They have two case studies. The first one is a student who has had a Macintosh computer, which has a voice that reads out loud. He started studying only using his audio. He didn't want to use his Braille because it slowed him down. On your handout, you have student A, and he has two case studies. Not ready yet. So the first thing you'll see is his first translation, which is incorrect. I want to read that out loud. On the back side. Case study one. It is student A. Yes, student A. Yes. Student A. Just the first one.
The good word. The good word.
The good word. The good words. Read the first translation.
The back door.
What did he do wrong?
He missed the last consonant of the second word.
Yes. Why did he think it did that?
Because he didn't know where the word ends.
Yes. Got the vowels mixed up. The vowels mixed up with the bets. Because the computer pronounced them exactly the same.
Same thing. Sure.
Can you play that? Okay.
Davar to devarim tovim.
Yeah. Now play the corrected one.
Davar to devarim tovim.
They sound almost exactly alike, don't they? Yes. In sample two, he did almost the exact same thing. No. He mixed up letters that sound alike. Do you see? If you had this student in your class, would you be able to identify his problems? No. Yes, you would have to hear his speech. The key to remediating his problem was that I had to teach him how to expect those sound-alike letters. By about, I would say exercise 7. He had started to remediate his own problem. Same way that you would teach a student about lookalike letters. Student B was a lot harder for me. He was supposed to translate. Now, student B has no means of writing in Braille. This is unusual. He reads his Hebrew out loud, and he translates out loud. Student B learned English Braille using the contracted forms. He did not learn spelling when he was young. He spells quite well now, but he didn't learn spelling as a young child. So when he reads Hebrew, he literally does not attend to what is under his fingers. So when he read the word b'chori, he heard b'ch, and he went automatically to b'char. Mm-hmm. And he went, "I choose you." And I said, "Why did you translate it that way?" He said, "It looked the same." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What is under your fingers?" And we went through this whole thing of identifying every single letter that was under his fingers. And I said, "Did it look the same?" And he said, "Well, no, I guess not." Because the two letters in Braille, the kaf and the chet, do not look the same at all. Have two extra, the chet has two extra letters, I mean, two extra dots. But he really had no idea what was under his fingers. When he started Hebrew, his goal was to be able to pronounce it. So he started reading Hebrew while listening to a Hebrew audio Bible. So he can read and he can pronounce really well, but he cannot comprehend what is under his fingers. Mm-hmm. So we have spent many weeks undoing what he has done. Mm-hmm. My conclusion here is anyone can teach Hebrew successfully. It often takes the person themselves learning to listen to Hebrew. I had to do this myself, and I can understand the synthesized Hebrew speech. But it took me learning to listen from someone else's perspective and to ask questions. What did you hear when you did this? The same way that I have to ask my sighted students, "What do you see?" Because I have no idea what they see. So it takes learning to take someone else's perspective and spending the time to find out what led them to this translation, or what led them to this conclusion. That is my conclusion.
Thank you. Thank you.
For some questions.
Yes. Hebrew Braille is read left to right. The machines only write left to right, so the Hebrew Braille is read left to right because of the machines. Because all of the machines write, all of the machines produce Braille from left to right.
My student in the JTS who learns to be a rabbi. And she apparently used the audio aid when she read. And is it because she was used to use it since she was...
Some people prefer it. Some people, once they have learned the basic Hebrew, audio is so much faster to process, especially for an advanced student, that they prefer using the audio. Braille really slows them down. I prefer to integrate my students unless they are having difficulty. Yes. It becomes obvious. Well, I teach biblical Hebrew, and I had to design exercises because I caught some students using these, and it became obvious when they were not understanding because they were not producing what I would expect to see from the exercises. There is software that is programmed to interpret that. and to there's software that takes the Hebrew and sorry, just a moment, I'll answer.
That's okay.
Puts it up on this line, and sends all of the Hebrew here. I can't see the dots from there, but it puts all the Hebrew there. I use a regular keyboard. Some people can use the keyboard that's on here.
Do you mind if I show it to
people? Sure, you can pass it around.
Thank you.
That is, it's called a Braille display. Yes. No, it puts the, in Hebrew, the vowel is to the right of the letter. Yes. And the, when I produce Braille on hard copy, the dagesh is to the left, but on the computer is to the right of the letter. So when I teach people to read in Braille, I have to teach them both.
I don't know if it will help you, but at the Hebrew University, we have a few blind students, many of them from the art community, and there is a special center for blind sign, a lot from English, because most of the happy
in
English, but also from Hebrew to, I think it's more, maybe if you need some material, and they get help from them, because I think their libraries, they already rich with the material.
I don't know if there is a inter-country transfer. I know that here in the United States, when it usually comes to me,
they from the beginning, from the beginning of the class, of the lecture, I can tell you are a very excellent teacher.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy teaching.
לכל חברי המושב הזה, לפאביו ולתמר ולמודה ולשובה.